Welcome, everyone. We're about ready to get started. We got about a minute left, so we'll start with the introductions. I'll let my co-presenter introduce herself.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Agnes Molnar. I work as a senior solutions consultant for BA Insight. And my focus has been on search for many years, and I've been also a SharePoint MVP for 5 years now.
And my name is Darren Allred. I'm a solution architect within the Microsoft Consulting Services. Originally came with the Fast acquisition, so I'm one of those people that destroyed everything. No. So here we're going to talk to you today about some troubleshooting and administration techniques and a practical guide to doing that. So hopefully many in the audience have tried to or administered either SharePoint search. Anyway, by raise a hand, anyone tried to administer SharePoint search? SharePoint search, 2010? Okay, Fast Search for SharePoint, 2010. All right. Okay, good. Well, it's a new dawn, isn't it? A new day. We've got a new, nice new shiny engine, and we've got to learn how to administer this thing. So today's objectives, a couple things that we're going to cover. As I mentioned, the session today really focused on two things. One, we're going to focus on the new features within search, the management features we have within search. The idea here and what we want you guys to come away with is the ability to recognize what those new capabilities are so that you can readily start using them. And then the latter half of the presentation, we're going to go through specific troubleshooting scenarios, things that are common that we've seen before with customers. We're not going to cover a breadth of them. The trouble with scenarios is they're always individual, specific. We've tried our best to come up with some very general ones that will be applicable to many people and give you just, and highlight the troubleshooting tools that you can use to troubleshoot search in the future. So we'll just start out with search management. I'll turn the time over to Agnes.
So, yes, as Darren just mentioned, I'm talking about a bit search management and search administration mostly from troubleshooting perspective, but also I will cover some topics that are not really troubleshooting, but that are important from troubleshooting perspective. So first, let me talk about some challenges we have had in the past with the previous versions of SharePoint and Fast Search engines. So first of all, the previous engines didn't support the iterative development process. So it was a very huge challenge if you wanted to do some iterative projects, iterative search projects, because it was not really supported. The next one that has been and was very complicated is if you needed additional capacity. So if you found out that some new crawler components were required or some new query components, it was not as easy as it sounds to be. And also, if you wanted to do some troubleshooting or management, you had to go to the management console. So you had to open a remote desktop to the server or servers, and you had to do the magics there. It was not always easy because mostly it was on customer side, or even if it was inside your company, you still had to have access to the remote desktop of the servers. And the next challenge was the limitations of delegations. We couldn't delegate the search administration task to site collection administrators or site administrators. So if we needed, for example, to add a new managed property, we had to go to the search administrators. They had to do the magic. We needed a new full crawl, et cetera, et cetera. So it was painful, and it required time. And during this session, we will show you how those challenges have been solved, or at least how your life is going to be much easier in the new version of search.
So let me just jump back a quick second. You've probably seen this slide. We're showing this almost every presentation. We've got a new architecture for 2013. It's a unified architecture. So we're instead of having multiple SharePoint search, Fast Search, multiple SSAs, that's all unified into a single unified core. On the left-hand side, you've got the crawl components. Now, that's the crawl components that you're familiar with within SharePoint. So if you've used those before, you'll be familiar with them in 2013. Content processing, new content processing engine that we have, a workflow engine that we brought in from Fast. You'd be able to extract entities, all the things that we did before around the Fast pipeline, the goodness there we're providing. A new core that allows for higher throughput performance and capacity and transactional operations. And on the right-hand side, you've got the query web front end where queries originate and then come through the query processing component, which is a new component, again, coming from the Fast legacy there, that we provide workflow query processing. In addition, we have an analytics processing. For those that are familiar with Fast Search for SharePoint, you're familiar with the Link Analyzer, the web Link Analyzer. That's been consolidated into a single analytics processing component, and we've provided a wider range of analytics and feedback signaling that we can trigger on. There are sessions throughout this week and later this week that talk about these in more depth, but I wanted to make sure that we referenced it here for a level set. So back to...
All right, so one more challenge is that search administration is difficult. I really don't want to be negative today, so I really will give you some ideas how to solve those challenges. But search administration is always difficult. First, because your data is heterogeneous. So you have file shares, you have SharePoint content, you have emails, you have public folders, you have a lot of third-party lob systems, and the data model behind them is always heterogeneous. For example, if you just think about the field, the value for the author, it can be called author, it can be called created by. In case of emails, it can be called from, it can be called owner in different systems. But still, we are talking about the very, very same information. Who is the person who has created this document or this piece of content? And we have to merge them together and we have to be able to solve this out. So if someone is looking for your name, regardless of which content source is this content coming from, he or she should be able to find the information that is created by you. We can say the very same about the security. Security models are heterogeneous also. So we can use AD, we can use custom authentication, we can use different models, but still, if you search for some content in your SharePoint Search Center, first, you have to be able to find what you are permitted to. Second, the content that you don't have permission should be hidden from you. And it's always a big challenge because we have to take care of mapping of those users, the groups, and also in a lot of systems, there are also property-based permission mapping. So we cannot say, okay, we mapping users to users and groups is easy because in some cases it's not enough. You can have marking sets, you can have properties for security, et cetera, et cetera. And the next challenge is the bandwidth and the performance. So between the search engine and the source system, you can have good enough bandwidth because we have to pull out the content from the source system. And it takes time. So if you don't have the bandwidth, it takes much longer time. So you cannot say, okay, the crawl takes 2 years for the full content source, right? And also you can have good performance. And this means on both sides. So you have to have a good performance on the search engine in order to be able to process the content very fast, as quick as possible. And second, you need good performance on the source system, on the content source. Because in a lot of cases, the content source is the bottleneck of everything. You can have the best search engine, you can have the best search infrastructure ever if the content source is slow. So you have to make sure that both the content source and your search engine is ready for this challenge.
So we've gone ahead and broken this up into two different sections, talking about some of the new enhancements we provided in central administration under 2013, as well as some of the delegated administration that you can do. So we're going to start with talking about some of the central administration features. So some of the enhancements that have been provided for troubleshooting and management is in two areas in the central administration. So a lot of changes there, in particular changes to the crawl log and to the health reports. The crawl log now provides, I'm just highlighting some of these key ones, the key capabilities that we now have within 2013. Within the content source, you have the ability to see a running trending latency for content sources, 1, 7, and 30-day latency, how long that content source takes to crawl. So that gives you, provides you additional information about how that content source has been slowing down or how it may be growing and taking longer and longer over time, so you have an indication to you that there's a problem, right? And that's something we haven't had before. You didn't see anything but the last crawl duration so in 2010, so you didn't really have a sense for how that's trending over time. Something that's really, I know many of you who are using Fast Search for SharePoint miss this capability. Those in SharePoint Search will be glad to see this still, but that's in the URL view to be able to remove specific items from the index. So that's now a capability within 2013 with that unified search index, search core. In addition, there's the ability to, there's an additional URL screen that allows you to enter batches of URLs, which is something we haven't had before, which is great for administration when you have lots of, you know, if you dump a list of links, to be able to go and batch delete those. Having a single delete is great, but having ability to do batch deletes is even better. And then in the history reports, we've got additional fields that you can that show up in columns now that show you the latency of that source and the load, the documents per second that are being being reported by the crawler infrastructure. So again, providing more visibility. Some of the challenges that we've had in the past is really the visibility around the crawling infrastructure, being able to see what is it doing and is it currently active and what's going on with the backend system. So, and I'll talk about it in the reports as well. But the here right here in this in the history screen, we can see that information surfaced directly, documents per second, and the latency of the system itself. So I mentioned the health reports. This has completely been redone. We've got a whole new set of features. There's some I've listed out here some of the highlights of the health reports, the crawl and query health reports that we have. Around the crawling side, you've got latency and load broken down by repository, handler, crawler, content processing component, as well as SQL. This is really great because you can see exactly which part of the process the latency is coming from for crawling, and how many documents are caught up in each of these different areas. So that's a level of granularity we haven't had before. For freshness, we have the ability to, like a heat map almost, display of the ability to, how fresh the content is in days, and it gives you heat map colors that describe how fresh that content is. You have ability to see the load that's going on. This is something we've never had within the central admin. You'd have to go out to SCOM or other things, other tools to review this, but you can see the CPU and memory load on each of the components, and it's broken down by components and processes, so you can see that across the farm or the search farm, how much CPU is being currently taken and how much memory is being loaded, so you can see the health of those systems. Content processing. In Fast Search for SharePoint, the content processing is a little bit of a black box. Those are familiar, it's a Python stage, framework that had a set of stages. And there were tools, back-end tools, to get access to this, and you had perfpon counters, and if you had SCOM, you could see some of this. But now you have all these within the new workflow engine and SharePoint 2013, you've got these processing stages exposed right in the reports. So you can see exactly how much time is being taken, how many failures, how many documents are being processed in each stage. So that's great for visibility. In addition, on the query side, I mentioned there's additional query reports. So from the query side, you have a latency and load by some percentiles for the crawl and what, or sorry, for the querying. And in addition to having these latency, so how long is it taking the query to return in milliseconds? How long is it taking how many queries per second or queries per minute are we loading the system with? In addition, we have an overlay on that allows you to see in contrast that with crawling or analytics processing that goes on, which are two of the main back-end services that can impact query performance. So you can see that all laid out in a single report. So again, great visibility there. Just going down the same line, you in SharePoint 2013, you have the ability to specify federated sources. And federated sources are simply the different backends that are the search engine is, or that the query processing component is issuing queries against. And this could be an open search backend source, and obviously SharePoint itself, or a remote SharePoint backend. And the federation report gives you a breakdown by source, how the latency of those and load of those specific sources. And then in addition to the federation, you can also break down the latency around various aspects of the query component. So this is something we've kind of harped on, especially the fast guys have talked about this a lot, is where is it slow? You know, is it in the object model? Is it somewhere in the SharePoint layers above? Is it in the core index? Is it somewhere in the query processing itself? And now you've got reports in there, that stack reports that can give you exactly that information, tell you where the bottlenecks are within the reporting. So these are all great enhancements. So here's some examples of those.
So let me show you some examples of how to use those reports and what you can find on those diagrams. The first one is an example when you can see some retrials. So about in the middle of the period we were checking, something happened because the crawl engine just retried to get the content again and again. So this means that something went wrong at that time, so you have to make some more research around that time in your logs, in both on the source system and both on the crawl engine, because maybe the source system was down, maybe you had some networking issue, et cetera, so those retriers shows some issues on the source system. And this one is one of my favorite one. When you see the crawl rate, it's usually pretty flat, more or less flat. So maybe it's just jumping up and down, but anyway, it's between some borders. But the crawl rate means how many documents could be crawled in a second. It can be around 20, it can be around 50, it depends on your environment. But if you see some peak like this, this means some strange behavior. So if you see this picture, that means at the highest point of this peak, the crawl rate was almost 9,000 documents per second, right? If you could do this in a constant way, you would get a very, very high bonus, I'm sure, right? But I know you are very, very smart IT guys. So it means it's not your bonus, right? It's about your environment. So it's something strange. So let's figure out what's wrong there. If you go, so this was the crawl rate per the content source. If you go to the next one, this is the crawl rate by type. This means how many items could be crawled successfully, how many warnings you've got, and you can see this spike is for errors. So those 9,000 items got some error during the crawl, right? And why it happened in only 1 second? So crawling 9,000 items takes time. What really happens is first the crawler goes to the source system, to the content source. It enumerates a list of the content pieces, a list of the items, and then it goes through on that list. So what happened on this in this case was the crawler went to the content source. In this case, it was a file system, but it could be anything else. So it went to the content source, picked up a bunch of item, a package of item, and started to enumerate them one by one. At the very beginning, it could crawl some of them, right? But at one point, it found that the content source got down. The file share got offline. So this is why finding those 9,000 errors took like 1 second or even less, because it found out, okay, the content source is down. That's it, right? So if you go further on this, you can see we have almost 9,000 errors on the crawl log. And those errors are the content source is not available, right? So sorry, you won't get such a high bonus next year. All right, so the next thing I would like to talk about is the content freshness, because it's always important to get the new content as quick as possible. So we cannot say, okay, I made some changes, and you will see those changes in 2 weeks in your search results, right? Those changes might be some security. Those changes might be the changes on the content itself, metadata changes, et cetera, et cetera. So you should be able to see them as quick as possible. But how we can guarantee good freshness? There are a lot of facts that it depends on. For example, it depends on the size of the repository. Sizes matter, right? So if you have 1,000 items, you can guarantee a pretty good freshness. If you get hundreds of millions of items, it's much more to get over everything and figure out what has been changed. Also, it depends on the change rate. How often changes happen, how big changes they are, et cetera, et cetera. So if there are changes on 3 documents in every day, you should be fine. If the users change thousands of documents or hundreds of thousands of documents every day, it's a bigger challenge. And it also depends on the request response time, the crawl schedule. If you can schedule an incremental crawl for every 5 minutes, you should be fine. But if you can schedule it for every two years would be much more funny, much more fun. So for 2 days, definitely it's a big difference. And also, as I've mentioned, the changes can be different types. So if you change the content or change the security on the item or change one metadata only, those changes are not the same, and it's not the same challenge to pick up those changes. So as you know, in the previous versions of SharePoint, we had 2 types of crawls, full crawl and incremental crawl. The full crawl goes through the all content corpus and crawls everything. So full crawl takes a long time. Incremental crawl was a bit better, much better from this perspective, because incremental crawl picks up the changes only, right? But it had some challenges, and it had some difficulties. So first, you should have been able to make some estimations how often you can run an incremental crawl, right? You had to schedule it by time. Should it run in every 15 minutes, in every 2 hours, in every 2 days, et cetera, et cetera. And also, the second challenge was they couldn't run parallelly. So if you started a crawl, you couldn't start one more crawl until the first one did finish, right? So this is what you can see on this picture. The expected behavior is on the top line. So you start a full crawl, pick the changes, it finished, and you start the next incremental crawl, it picks the changes, finished, et cetera, et cetera. So this is what you expected. But in the reality, you got something else. So the first crawl started to pick the changes, but if it takes long, you couldn't start the next. If it takes longer than the incremental crawl schedule period, you couldn't start the next incremental crawl, et cetera, et cetera. So you had to wait the next one, the next one, the next one, and maybe you had to wait for two or three or even more incremental crawl periods, right? So with this one, the content freshness could not be that good. So this spike means how fresh the content with this incremental crawl schedule. What you could do, first, you could extend the period of incremental crawl, but it was not the best solution, because if you had some small changes, that period was still that long, right? So the incremental crawl period, for example, crawl in every 2 hours, means that you would give the updates in 2 hours, right? Or more, right? The second thing you could do with this is using PowerShell. Instead of scheduling the incremental crawls by time, you could use some PowerShell scripts that listen to the crawl status, and once it's done, it starts the next one. Once it's done, it starts the next one. But you should use PowerShell for this. You had to use a lot of other things, so it was still not easy, and it was still not the best solution. So we used this scripting solution for customers who could not guarantee the bandwidth and the performance of the source system. So I had a customer a few months ago where the incremental crawl sometimes took 10 minutes, sometimes 8 hours for the same content source. So we couldn't estimate how long we should set the incremental period. So instead of this, you could use PowerShell. In 2013, we've got a third type of the crawl. This is the continuous crawl. The continuous crawl can be used on SharePoint content sources. And this is much more effective than the incremental crawl, because first, you can run more than one continuous crawl at the same time. So if one started and it's still working on the content processing, and the next one wants to get started, it can. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So you can pick up the changes on more than one thread at the same time. So with this, of course, the content freshness can be much better. You can see this green flat line on the bottom of this diagram. So the content freshness can be much better with continuous crawl, just because you can run it much more often, and you can run more than one continuous crawling thread at the same time.
Yeah, one thing I like about this is the continuous crawl kind of provides a consistency, right? Whereas before, as Agnes mentioned, you couldn't guarantee that because you didn't know what the latency there is. But with the continuous crawl, because it'll kick off these crawls at the scheduled time regardless, the consistency of the freshness is predictable, which is a good thing.
The next thing I would like to show you, how to debug what's going on the query side. You know, when you just start a query, and your user start a query, and something went wrong, you can see this error message on the search UI: sorry, something went wrong, right? So you cannot know, and the users don't know what to do with this and what went wrong. So they will call you, hey, something went wrong, I don't know what happened. So what you can do in this case, you can use the new development dashboard. This developer dashboard is pretty new. In SharePoint 2013, so you can open it in a new window. You will get much more views than in the previous one. You will get much more information. So you will get the queries, for example. You will get the calls behind the skins. And also, you can see the ULS logs in the very same window. It helps much a lot. And Darren will show you examples.
We'll be showing this in a demo a little bit later, and you'll see that in action. It's really great.
Yep.
One of my favorite features, 2013, to be honest. It's really
great. Definitely. It is.
So let's just switch gears here as we talk a little bit about we'll go back to crawling a little bit and talk about another enhancement that has been provided. So many of you that have come through the long history with SharePoint know that there have been changes to how the underlying architecture has enabled better scalability. 2007, back in 2007, the crawling was all a single threaded, single search shared service instance. And the common scenario was is that as you crawled content, it would get queued up, and you might be waiting for a long time for that data to even be processed. And we improved that with 2010 by being able to scale those crawl databases. But there was something still that was not optimal. And it came back to the fact that in 2010, although you could have multiple content databases, a content database was really tied to the concept of a host. So every document or every item URL within a host would be processed by the same, or would be sent to the same content database. And it just happens to be that then so then you tie your crawl components to those content databases, and that same kind of queuing can happen. All right. So you can still see that today. So in 2013, what we've done is they've gone back and re-architected this further and broken down that boundary even further. So in 2013, any URL from any host can be hashed or spread across all the content databases. So when you scale out content databases, a couple things that does for you. One is it means that a single host, like I said, can be processed by multiple crawlers and multiple content databases. So you don't get any kind of locking or table locking or synchronization that occurs around that. In addition, lost my train of thought. So the primary functionality there is that you have the ability to break that host down. So a single host can be processed by multiple crawlers and multiple content backends, and you don't get that that bottleneck going on there. So that's a great enhancement. It's actually something we see quite a bit actually within our customers, and this will really help them really boost and scale up their content. So these are kind of some of the central administration capabilities that are new to SharePoint 2010. So let's turn a little bit to some of the delegated administration capabilities, some of the things that we can now delegate out to so we don't have to do this all within central IT.
Okay, so when we talk about delegated administration, that means 2 + 1 things. First, you can delegate some tasks to the site collection administrators. Second, you can delegate tasks to the site administrators. And of course, we have to talk about the tenant administration in case of you have SharePoint Online. So what you can delegate to the site collection and site administrators. That is very important, you can delegate a kind of metadata management to the site collection administrators. So the site collection administrators can create new managed properties in the site collection level. For example, if you have an HR system, an HR department with an HR site collection, you will be able to, as a site collection administrator, you will be able to say, okay, in my HR system, I need this and that managed property, so I can create that based on the crawled properties I have, right? So it gives you much more flexibility. You can have this set of managed properties for HR, this set of managed properties for IT, this set of managed properties for marketing. This is all site collection level. It's very important to mention that you cannot modify the existing managed properties on site collection level. So if you have a set of managed properties on central administration level, you can see them. You can add new mappings to them, but you cannot modify the other settings of those managed properties. on both levels, both site levels and site collection levels, you can create refiners. So you can say, OK, in my HR department, we need this and this and these properties to be refiners. So you will be, you are able to create those refiners for your local search centers. And the same can be said about the query rules, the result types, and the resource sources. So you can create and you can override them on your site collection and or site administration level. So let me show some of those examples now.
So let's switch over here.
Okay. So I hope I can put this to. All right. So I am a site collection administrator now. And I am on the site settings page on my, of my site collection, right? So I am not a farm administrator. I am not a global search administrator. I am the site collection administrator of the HR, of the marketing, or whatever department site collection. If I scroll down, you can see some site-level search settings here, like schema, query rules, result types, result sources, etc., etc. And under the site collection administration, you can see search result sources, result types, query rules, search schema, etc., etc. So let me open the search schema, and once again, I am a site collection administrator in this case. So if you are familiar with the search administration in SharePoint 2010, this page must be familiar to you. This is the list of my managed properties, right? So if I search for, if I open one of them, for example, the author that I used in my example, you can see all the settings for this managed property, but you can see most of the controls are disabled, so I cannot modify the settings. The only thing I can do here, I can add a new mapping from the existing crawl properties, right? If I go back one page, you can see that I can create a new managed property on this page. So if I need some HR data created, if HR specific managed property created, I can do it right here. If you go to the site administration, the site administration level, you cannot see this button. So you can, as I've mentioned, you cannot add new managed properties on the site administration level, but you can do this on the site collection administration level. So it can be delegated pretty easily to the site collection administrators. The other staffs, refinement, query results, result types, can be delegated to the site administrators as well.
All right, thank you. Let's switch back. All right. Okay, so a lot of new features within SharePoint 2010 around site administration, and now we want to kind of transition and talk about troubleshooting specifically. So this is where I talked about in the beginning, we talked about certain scenarios. So just quickly, I'm going to do one slide and then we're going to get into kind of a three-part demo of troubleshooting. So just like we had challenges with some administration, troubleshooting could be challenging as well and for various reasons. For those that raised their hand and said that they had administered Fastr for SharePoint, you're very aware that there was some complexity in that infrastructure that you were administering. So you had multiple back-end systems that it felt like you were managing really two clusters, if it will, SharePoint and Fast, and you were. You had multiple SSAs, and there was, you know, you had to decide which properties changed where. This has all made it more difficult to both configure as well as to manage. So that complexity obviously has changed in 2013. We've gotten away with that. And with the unified kind of search backend, much of that complexity melts away.
Query and crawl reporting, as I mentioned, was a source that you needed to go to do that your troubleshooting. And as I mentioned before, that those query reports have really been improved in 2013 to allow more visibility into both the query and the crawl scenario, crawl processes, which are the primary processes that we worry about within within search. So a couple of scenarios, just to mention that the common ones that we came up with. Or we see it all the time. Search service is unavailable. You know, we see this all the time. What do I do about it? I get a GUID. How do I handle it? We're gonna talk about that. The hung crawl. Hopefully, you've seen with the reporting the additional visibility that we have within 2013 to be able to really dig into the individual component that's actually taking time, where the load is, provides gives us more tools to be able to solve that crawling problem. This will still be a challenge in 2013. There's still sources that are latent. There's still sources that are large. But having those tools and that visibility is useful. Let me just move here. Let's go right into the demo here. So we've kind of done this as a case of, and we're going to start by talking about the unavailable search scenario. You know, can't contact the search backend. And then I'm going to go on and talk about how sometimes we run into scenarios where we can't crawl content, and for some reason it's not working, and we need to diagnose that, and then finally talk about how to diagnose and resolve missing results. So let's jump back over to the demo environment. We've got a second demo right here. So let's start here. If I go onto my search here, and I start out by searching for this common term, lorem, because everybody wants to find how to get that content. I get the dreaded message. Oh, sorry. Well, actually, it's a lot nicer. Did you notice that? 2013 is a really nice interface. I don't know if you've noticed this. Actually, it's all throughout the interface. Like, hey, we're just about there. We're really excited. I mean, it's happy. It makes you really, I'm sorry. Wow. That's so nice. So, but you know, unfortunately I click on this, oh, sadness, correlation ID, that's not gonna help me, can't help with that. So, what do I do about this? Okay, so, we mentioned before about the developer dashboard, right? It's a very useful tool. So, to enable the developer dashboard, there's a couple of ways to do it. I'm just gonna go in here and on the server side, just enable it. And if I type this out here really quick, hopefully it's big enough you can see, all I'm doing is enabling this on the object model, and I'm setting the display equals on. We had three different levels in 2010, which is kind of like auto level, but now the way that they've exposed that to the UI, it's just on and off. So I can just turn it on and update, and I can, so let's go ahead and do that. Oops. Enable. Really quick. Okay, so now if I go in and this search center, this screen doesn't show the ribbon there, but if I go into site settings, I'll see that the developer dashboard icon is here. I can click on it. And then there's a screen that we showed in the slide. It's even showing already a request that was made. I can highlight that. Oh, I made a developer dashboard request, and I can see information about it. I can see basically a lot of the information that you saw in 2010, but now all kind of in the same place and really giving you a much richer set of information you can use. One thing I like about this screen is if you see the watermark behind there, those bars that represent kind of the latency for each of those components, so you can see kind of similar to the way you see in the developer tools, F12 developer tools in Internet Explorer, you can see the progress over time of the requests when they were made. So you can see that the longest time here was this SPSQL client. So let me just go back and reissue that search again. And then let's bring up that page here. Okay, so I've got a new entry here. One thing to note here is that, kind of just incidentally, this is a service request being made. This is not an actual page request. When I hit the search button, it didn't actually refresh the page. It just went back and made a client server object model request, which is kind of cool. Again, I can see the scopes here, the details. The one that I wanted to highlight is this ULS. So we know there's a problem. I can go right into the ULS logs, and if I just search for error here, Okay, so I can see that down in the log there was an error, and the error occurred, oh, endpoint not found, cannot connect to, and then talking about this processing component, IMS query internal, connection attempt, target machine refused, actively refused. All right, so right there it tells me that there was a communication problem, probably a network communication problem. Could be that if it's a multi-node system, which this isn't a single node, but if it was a multi-node system, it might be some kind of DNS resolution, could be a proxy setting, could be a firewall, right? I know that's not the case in my mind because I know that's not the problem. What's going on here? So what I would do here is I would say, okay, there's something wrong with that service application. So if I go in and refresh this here, okay, for one, it's taking a while to start up here. Okay, there's really something wrong with the search service application. It's not even loading. And if I can let it go for a little bit, it'll actually tell me that it can't contact the admin service. So this is giving me more clues. I know what's going on here. Let me go in here. Oh, okay. Look at that. My debugging skills are amazing. And I found it. I was just like highlighted. The search host controller service was stopped. Some evil, nefarious person did it. And okay, so I admit that that's a really kind of contrived thing. But the point there is to show you the tool and how it's working. So I'm going to start this. It's going to start up. As it's starting up, I'll just point out something here too. This is the host controller service there. That's the corresponding. Let me zoom in so you can see that. See if I can do that for you. Yeah. Well. This host controller service there, and there are node runner control processes that run under each one of them, and each of the components within the fast new search core in SharePoint 2013 use this infrastructure. So I can see they're started up, and if I go back and check this guy, oh, he actually came back. He says it's running good. Okay, well, starting up. It takes a little bit. I can actually watch this as it's going to initialize. So let me see if I can issue a search yet. Is it going to let me do it? No, not yet. Takes a little bit of time here. So with any luck, the search will come back up. So as I mentioned, node runners represent each of the, so it kind of just gives some more detail. There are two different search processes really now. There's MSS search. And if you're familiar with SharePoint 2010 and 2007, you got the MSS search with a child process, which is the MSS daemon. And that's the crawler components. Okay, that's the one responsible for the crawler. And then the host controller service, the one that I'm starting up here and it's initializing, is responsible for all the other components. And these are the admin components, the crawl component, or the content processing component, the core index components, search, query processing, and analytics. So this is, see if now we've got this going here. Back to here. Search. It's not coming on. Whoa. Demo gods, come on, please. No more. Yeah. All right. Hold on for a second. Let me run one other thing here. I've got a status here for the. I have a command here that this. There's a. So PowerShell provides a way of going in and actually looking at some of the component state. And I've got a script here that wraps that PowerShell, and I can come in and like look at the health status of that component. So I'm going to run and do that. Looks like on the back end, so we've got the admin components gone up, the analytics processing components, content processing, they're all up here. And then we get some details about the analytics as well. There's some jobs that are running on the back end, and they look like they're all okay. Search plans, everything's great. Well, let's see. Anything here? Ah, okay. That deserves a clap right there. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, this is always the fun thing. So,
Now this will take a little bit longer now that it's the first time it's hitting the engine. It's going to kind of spin up here. I can actually watch this request come through. And in fact, you actually see a lot more requests coming through now that the search results are coming back, because there's all these residual requests for data that's coming back from the search engine. But OK, so I have nothing in my index right now. So that's number one. So that's, we fixed the search service. Now we actually want to get some data in here. So I'm going to go over here and go to my content sources. And I have, as I showed, I have no content in the index, but I actually have previously crawled. Before I nefariously turned the search service off, I actually had crawled some content. And I have this intranet web. And this is a business unit within my organization. They're really keen on getting this crawled. And it's just a public site. There's no security on it or anything. Simple thing. I just want to index it. So I said, okay, we'll do that. So I've gone in and actually set that up. And actually, let's go back to the content source here. And as you can see here, the content source is a type website. It is they gave me the start URL, this default CSM, default page. I actually have tried this out. I went over and actually used this competitor product here, because it doesn't support integrated authentication by natively. So I wanted to test the theory out that this was really anonymous access. And lo and behold, yep, I can actually access this site. This is good. So I should be able to crawl it. It's got some great content. So it's got two documents in there. So I should expect to get two documents in there. So OK, so I've got that site there. And like I said, I've crawled this content. So I'm going to go into the crawl log and see what's going on. Oh, I can see that there has been an error. An error has occurred in the crawl log. And I look at that, and it's showing me access denied. OK, so access. So I didn't expect this, right? I went to the browser, and I actually could get into that site. And I'm kind of confused why that is actually the case. So I don't know if you guys have run into this problem. Has anybody run into this problem before, where they've got an anonymous site and they can't crawl it? Yeah, really weird, isn't it? As it turns out, this is actually a very common scenario that occurs. And there is, in 2013, anyway, there was a new feature that we have, new crawl rule that we have that can address this. The issue is that although this site is anonymous, I actually kind of set it up so that it would work this way. In this case, it's an IIS site that had both anonymous and integrated authentication on it. And by default, if I go to the search administration screen here, the crawler will use an account and try to authenticate using integrated authentication with that site. So because the site supports it, it will use it. And unfortunately, this dummy didn't give my search service account access to that site. He thought I was just going to crawl anonymously. So what I could do is I can actually go in and now create a new crawl rule for that site. Never have done this before. And so I'll include that. And here, I've got a new anonymous access option. So this is a new feature that we have. Okay. So and it's interesting. I'm doing this for let's go ahead and get this going here. So I set that rule. I'm going to start that crawl going here. Now, what you typically do when you set up a new crawl rule is you'll want to test that, right? So I'll test my URL, make sure it works correctly. And lo and behold, it does. So it matches. That's good. You want to make sure that you do that. Something I wanted to point out here, too, though, is that although I'm setting this crawl rule for a specific site, it may actually be a good practice in many cases, because however your intranets are laid out, to set this as a default crawl rule, so using kind of the wildcard as a base crawl rule, so that you avoid passing any kind of credentials. Particularly if you're crawling external sites outside your organization, this is a good way of avoiding passing any kind of credentials outside your organization. So not just for fixing or troubleshooting an issue, but just as a general best practice for avoiding that scenario. And then you can explicitly then tell it to use the integrated authentication for a domain or a set of sites that will receive that. So let's go and see how we're doing here. And let's go to the history. So we're starting to crawl the site. Now, there are a couple of things here that slow this down. As you know, we still have the same crawler infrastructure as in 2010. So when you make a change like this, it will kick off a job to start the crawl. And then the databases, the reporting databases themselves are updated on a regular basis. I've got a little script that I'm using to kind of force that update. And so we'll see how this comes back here. So as we crawl the site, the crawl history should indicate that we're getting content here. So hopefully that's the case. Oh, another thing I want to show you too. So I've so another tool, and many of you guys are also aware of this, ULS viewer from CodePlex. There's actually two of them. There's one you can get off CodePlex. There's also one off of the MSDN code site. These are really good tools. It works great with 2013 as well. One thing I didn't show you here, but from I captured from the previous crawl, in addition to the crawl log itself showing access denied, I can get more detail here from the crawl log. And what I've done is I've simply put a filter on the MSSDMN process, and that gives me just pares down the logs to just what I want to look at. And here I'm looking at this. I can see this access denied error when it was trying to crawl the internet web. I can actually open that up. I hit a Control E, that just opens that up, removes the filter, and I can look and see how it's going here. And it's going to authenticate with the. There's the access denied I got previously, so it's starting up, and it's going to crawl. So let's see what we've got here. So if I filter by signed, let's see the message. And it contains intranet web. Okay, so we've got some access here. So we're crawling the web, the starter S here. Let's see if it keeps going here. Back to my crawl log. Okay, so we now a crawl log shows that we have a success. And if I click on that success, okay, so I got a URL. Another round of applause. Woo! Okay, we're getting there. Now, that's great, but that's not good enough, is it? Because what did I say? There were two URLs. Dang it, on that site. Dang it. Okay, so. But we did get around the authentication issue, and that's great. So there's something special about this URL. You probably thought it was weird maybe when you saw that start URI, right? I have an extension on there. You note there that it's a CSHTML. Well, that's not common. I mean, actually it is. This is a Razor template. This is a Razor template. But you wouldn't normally reference it this way, but I'm kind of doing this on purpose. CSHTML is not a common extension that you would encounter. But there are lots of them out there. There are lots of extensions for files on the web and on your intranets that they use, you know, things like SHTML, SHDM. You know, there's GSP sites. There's all these kinds of extensions that you'll find out there. Well, so this is important. Extensions are important. I'll show you. So if I go in and I look at file types, first thing I'll note is that CSHTML is not one of these file types, okay, that are included in the content index. So I actually have to go in and add CSHTML to this extension list, okay? And then that's not quite there. If I'm going to do one other thing too. I'm going to update this property, this search service application property. For those that are familiar with FastSearch for SharePoint, this will be familiar to you. But what this script does is it retrieves this extensions to filter property out of the search service application. By default, these are the extensions that are used to extract links from content. Okay? Well, CSHTML is not one of them. So I've gone in and added that CSHTML there. So I've gone and made the change. I'm going to do a final recrawl here of the site. It's going to kick it off. I'm going to do the same thing here. I'm going to monitor this. I'm actually going to do a couple things. That's kind of interesting. I'm going to watch this as it goes. So here I've got I'm going to filter this by intranet web so I can see those show up. And another thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and I'm going to actually
I've got, on this particular slide, I have a failed request log tracing. It's my own site. I can actually do this, so I'm gonna do this. I can see things come through. Actually, I did see something come through right there. Okay, oh, two things come through. Good. So here I've got a request for default CSHTML, and I can see that it used anonymous to access that site. That's good. And, oh, there's the about, so it's come through. Good, very good. So let's just see what it says here in the log. Hasn't caught up here in the log with me. Let's see, just to make sure. No. May have stopped there, but let's go over to the crawl log there. And it takes a little bit of time here. Let's see what we got. So with any luck, there's our single result that came through. Now we just have to make sure that it's coming through here. Just make sure this may have stopped. So let me actually try to reattach here. Yeah. Okay. You've already come through. So let's check the crawl history again. Okay, look at that. Two results. Okay, oops, sorry. Crawl content sources. Okay, the crawl log. And I've got, okay, so it hasn't quite updated in the UI here quite yet, but my crawl history shows that I have two successes, which is great. And here shortly, let's see, search probably coming through here. Oh, look at that. Two results. Very good. Awesome. Okay, so the point of that was to, it's kind of a contrived kind of scenario, but these are kind of common issues that you'll encounter when you're crawling the web. You're gonna find times like authentication issues. You're gonna have problems where search services or components are down and you need to diagnose them. And you're also gonna have scenarios where you have to deal with specific content type issues and have diagnosed those. So hopefully what this has shown you is some techniques, some tools. You saw ULS Viewer, you saw the new developer diagnostics tool. And you saw some new tools that we have within 2013 to help you address some of these crawling issues. Great. Okay. So we're right close to the Q&A. We have some, you probably maybe seen this, you've been into other search sessions, you've seen the hands of labs that are available. Check them out. They're really great. And then we're now about almost to the end, right? We're almost to the end. You almost made it. So we've got some additional sessions today coming up. Have great sessions. Matt King will be presenting search development. I'm actually doing another session this afternoon with Newt Brandon, who's a program manager within the product group. I just talked to Sviner earlier today. He's really excited about his custom security. Rene Sanchez, he's our MSIT guy. If you've ever heard him speak before, he's great. He's got one of our largest deployments out there, and he's real world experience there. And we're going to talk about how they're moving to O365 and cloud. And then we've got some, and I've heard Jan Inge speak before. He's great about search relevancy. So all these sessions will be good. Please check them out.
And also, if you are interested in SharePoint search in 2013, we have just published a new ebook on this topic with my colleagues. It's written by me, by Jeff Fried, and some other colleagues. So if you would like to download this ebook, if you would like to get it, either visit the BA Insights booth, or you can download it from the website www.sharepointsearch2013.com.
All right. So with that, please fill out your surveys, and if you have any questions, I forgot to do the little timer thing, but we should have a little bit of time, looks like, for questions. So please, any questions?